Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from Rock Review. This opening is brought to us by Anya, entitled Only If. Happy New Year to all the listeners. This is our first program of 2010, and after all these hectic holidays, we're going to be concentrating today's music on relaxation and mood music. We'll be hearing more of this genre later on in today's program, and it will close it out as well. But first, these trivia questions. Our trivia questions today are brought to us by FunTrivia.com. First question, People Are Strange, Hello, I Love You, and Riders on the Storm were all hit songs for which rock band? Was it A, The Grateful Dead, B, Supertramp, C, The Doors, or D, Jethro Tull? Second question, which artist had great success as a solo artist with songs like Southern Man, Heart of Gold, and Rockin' in the Free World? The answers to these two questions will be given at the end of today's programs. The second one, however, is also multiple choice, and your possible answers are A, Stephen Stills, B, Neil Young, C, Bob Dylan, or D, Ted Nugent. The transition section of today's program is brought to us once again by BGORecords.com. Today in rock history. And today is January 2nd and January 3rd, 2010. What were the number one hits this weekend? Well, back in 1971, it was George Harrison with All Things Must Pass. And back in 1970, even further back, B.J. Thomas, Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head. And back in 1976, it was the Bay City Rollers with Saturday Night. Now, if you were born on January 2nd, you share a birthday with Roger Miller, King of the Road, 1936. And also with Chick Churchill, 1942. He's from 10 years after. Deaths on January the 2nd include Tex Ritter. He was the singing cowboy. He died on January 2nd, 1974. And Phil LaNott from Thin Lizzy died on 1986 on January the 2nd. Now, if you were born on January the 3rd, you share a birthday with the record producer George Martin. He was born on 1926 on January 3rd. Steve Stills, Love the One You're With. He was born on January 3rd in 1945. And John Paul Jones, born on 1946 on January 3rd. He, of course, with Led Zeppelin. Rock miscellany on this weekend includes 1964. This weekend it was the Beatles appearing on U.S. TV for the very first time in a short clip on the Jack Parr Show. 1967, this weekend it was Carl Wilson of the Beach Boys, having received a U.S. Army draft notice, refuses to be sworn in. Back in 1969, John and Yoko's Two Virgins album is declared pornographic in New Jersey. U.S. 30,000 copies are seized by the police. A year later, 1970, the Beatles record what will be their last song together, I, Me, Mine. Also on this weekend, back in 1970, Davy Jones announces he's leaving the Monkees. Back in 1974, this weekend, it was Jim Croce awarded gold disc in U.S. for Time in a Bottle. Back in 1975, this weekend, it was the U.S. District Court ruling that John Lennon should have access to Department of Immigration files pertaining to his deportation case. He wants to know whether the government's case against him is from his 1968 British drug conviction or his anti-establishment comments during the period of Richard Nixon's presidency. Back in 1978 this week, and it was Ozzy Osbourne rejoining Black Sabbath. And back in 1979, a year later, on this weekend, it was trial begins of Sid Vicious for the alleged murder of his girlfriend, Nancy Spungen. And finally, back in 1991 this weekend, it was George Harrison becoming the first ex-Beatle to top the U.S. charts when All Things Must Pass hits number one. Also in the transition section of this program, we find this article from Dave White, classicrock.about.com. Eric Wolfsom, 1945 to 2009. On Saturday, December 5th, 2009, Eric Wolfsom, best known as co-founder, co-producer, songwriter, and sometimes vocalist of Progressive Rock's Alan Parsons Project, died of cancer at the age of 64. Wolfson's accomplishment went well beyond his work with APP. He was a prolific composer, talented pianist, and accomplished producer. After his partnership with Parsons, 1975 to 1990, ended, Wolfson became heavily involved in composing musical theater. Earlier this year, he released the Alan Parsons Project That Never Was, on which he sang songs he had written for APP, which were never released. Word of Wolfson's death spread quickly after appearing on his Facebook page. We are very sad to have to tell you that Eric Wolfson passed away in the early hours of this morning after a long and brave battle with cancer. He has very much enjoyed seeing all of your kind comments and posts on his Facebook page, and his family wanted to thank you and your appreciation of his work. This next article is from Henry Fountain, New York Times, and this was published on December 1, 2009, entitled People Hear with Skin as Well as Their Ears. We hear with our ears, right? Yes, but scientists have known for years that we also hear with our eyes. In a landmark study published in 1976, researchers found that people integrated both auditory cues and visual ones, like mouth and face movements, when they heard speech. That study and many that followed raised this fundamental question about speech perception. If humans can integrate different sensory cues, do they do so through experience, through seeing countless speaking faces over time, or has evolution hardwired them to do it? A new study that looks at a different set of sensory cues adds to a growing body of evidence that suggests such integration is innate. In a paper in Nature, Brian Gick and Donald Derrick of the University of British Columbia report that people can hear with their skin. The researchers had subjects listen to spoken syllables while hooked up to a device that would simultaneously blow a tiny puff of air onto the skin of their hand or neck. The syllables included p and t, which produced a brief puff from the mouth when spoken, and da and ba, which do not produce puffs. They found that when listeners heard da or ba while a puff of air was blown onto their skin, they perceived the sound as t or p. Dr. Gick said the findings were similar to those from a 1976 study in which visual cues trumped auditory ones. Subjects listened to one syllable but perceived another because they were watching video of mouth movements corresponding to the second syllable. In his study, he said cues from sensory receptors on the skin trumped the ears as well. Our skin is doing the hearing for us, he said. Dr. Gick noted that it would normally be rare that someone actually sensed a puff of air produced by another, although people might occasionally sense their own puffs. Either way, he said, the stimulus is very subtle, which suggests it is very powerful. What's so persuasive about this particular effect, he added, is that people are picking up on this information that they don't know they're using. That supports the idea that integrating different sensory cues is innate. Dr. Gick said the findings also suggested that other sensory cues might be at work in speech perception, that, as he put it, we are these fantastic perception machines that take in all the information available to us and integrate it seamlessly. This next article from the Associated Press was published on www.billboard.com, entitled Billboard Names Powter One-Hit Wonder of the Decade. As far as one-hit wonders go, Daniel Powter is king of them all, for this decade at least. Powter, whose hit, Bad Day, reigned on top of the Billboard's pop chart for 5 weeks in 2006, was named as the decade's top one-hit wonder by Billboard. The magazine describes one-hit wonders as acts whose second hit did not reach the top 25. They only included acts from 2000 to 2007, since someone from last year might just be taking a break. Number two on their list is the Terror Squad for Lean Back. Number three is Crazy Town with Butterfly. Number four is Mims with This Is Why I'm Hot. And number five is D4L, remember them, with Laffy Taffy. This next article is brought to us by Dave White from ClassicRock.about.com. That was the decade that was. Classic rock in the first decade of the new millennium. Back in 2000, more than 942 million CDs were shipped to retailers. By 2005, that number had dropped to 705 million, and by 2008, CDs accounted for just 362 million units shipped. During the decade, digital downloads ballooned from 5.5 million in 2004 to nearly 66 million in 2008, according to Nielsen Media Research. Digital delivery has also been boosted by satellite radio, DVDs, and music video games like Rock Band and Guitar Hero. Ironically, this decade has also seen a resurgence in sales of one of the oldest forms of recorded music, vinyl albums. Led by artists of the original vinyl era like Pink Floyd, The Beatles, and Bob Dylan, vinyl album sales in 2008 reached nearly 1.9 million, more than in any year since Nielsen SoundScan started tracking vinyl sales in 1991. Musical transformations, Ritchie Blackmore. Until the late 90s, he rocked with Deep Purple and Rainbow, but the new millennium took him far away. From the iconic guitar licks of Smoke on the Water, today he is one half of Blackmore's Knight, playing Renaissance music in medieval costume with his wife, Candace Knight. Bob Dylan, although his entire career has been one long reinvention of himself and an exploration of a diverse range of musical styles, his 2009 album of traditional Christmas carols represents a significant departure from the musical persona of the past half century. Peter Frampton. Around the turn of the century, he was touring with Ringo Starr, Bill Wyman, and Styx. In 2006, he released his first instrumental album and performed with the Cincinnati Pops Orchestra. Paul McCartney. He still performs The Beatles and Wings songs in concert, but since 2006 has released albums of classical and electronic music. Rod Stewart. After surgery for thyroid cancer in 2000, he morphed from raspy rock to softer versions of pop and soul standards. Sting. The 2007-08 Police Reunion Tour was a departure from his two most recent albums of instrumental string music from 600 or so years ago. Roger Waters. Pink Floyd's The Wall, of which he was principal writer, is a rock classic and one of the top five best-selling albums of all time, according to the RIAA. In 2005, he released what became the number one classical music album on both the U.S. and U.K. chart. Reunions and Rebirth. Cream. A short series of concerts in London and New York City in 2005 represented the band's first and probably last reunion since their breakup in 1968. Fleetwood Mac. The decade has seen two tours, 2003 to 2004 and 2009, from this band, whose first tour was way back in 1975. Over the past couple of years, there has been on-again, off-again talk about a new studio album as well. Genesis. The influential progressive rock band's 2007 reunion tour with Phil Collins, but without Peter Gabriel, came 40 years after the band formed. According to band members, a new studio album is highly unlikely, but a future tour is not out of the question. Led Zeppelin. One of the most highly anticipated reunions happened in 2007 when surviving members performed a single set at a tribute to late Atlantic Records founder Ahmet Ertegun. Although other members have expressed interest in a full tour, vocalist Robert Plant has repeatedly said he isn't interested. Pink Floyd. In 2005, Roger Waters, David Gilmour, Nick Mason, and Rick Wright reunited for a one-off performance at the Live 8 concert in London. In the years since, Waters and Mason have performed together, as did Gilmour and Wright prior to Wright's death in 2008. In 2007, Waters performed solo, and the other three played together at a tribute for their late bandmate, Syd Barrett. The Police. When Stuart Copeland, Andy Summers, and Sting reunited for a 2007-08 tour, Copeland summarized the band's sometimes stormy times. We play nicely for two or three days, and then we start to get on each other's nerves, then have a screaming match, and then we hug and kiss, and then we play even better. Van Halen. VH have toured twice in the past 10 years. In 2004, Sammy Hagar handled lead vocals. In 2007, David Lee Roth supplied vocals, and original bassist Mike Anthony was replaced by Wolfgang Van Halen. Almost reunions. In 2001, two of the three surviving members of The Doors, Ray Manzarek and Robbie Krieger, began touring, first as The Doors of the 21st Century, and more recently as Riders on the Storm. In 2009, three of the four surviving members of Faces, Ronnie Wood, Kenny Jones, and Ian McLaughlin, announced a one-off benefit performance in London. Original vocalist Rod Stewart begged off. In spite of the deaths of two of the original members of The Who, Keith Moon in 1978 and John Entwistle in 2002, vocalist Roger Daltrey and guitarist-composer Pete Townshend have soldiers on with supporting players on bass, drums, and keyboard. A 2005 Live 8 performance, a 2006 album and tour, a one-off 2009 acoustic performance, and a Daltrey solo tour have kept the band's name in the public consciousness during the past decade. Passages. The legacies of the classic rock artists who have died in the past decade will live on well into future decades. Among the most famous names we eulogize, George Harrison, The Beatles, John Entwistle, The Who, Syd Barrett, Pink Floyd, Joey, Johnny, and Dee Dee Ramone, The Ramones, Jim Capaldi, Traffic, Brad Delp, Boston, Warren Zevon, Joe Strummer, The Clash, Rick Wright, Pink Floyd, Arthur Lee, Love, Ron Ashton, The Stooges, Denny Doherty, Mamas and the Papas, Dennis Payton, Dave Clark Five, and Les Paul. Others who weren't headliners but who are no less miss include Danny Federici from the E Street Band, Noel Redding and Buddy Miles, Jimi Hendrix Experience, Billy Powell and Ian Evans, Lynyrd Skynyrd, Delaney Bramlett from Delaney and Bonnie, Bruce Palmer and Dewey Martin from Buffalo Springfield, Rod Price from Foghat, John Rutsey from Rush, Kelly Guchut from ELO, Boz Burrell from Bad Company and King Crimson, Sandy West from The Runaways, Mike Gibbons from Bad Finger, Vince Welnick from Grateful Dead, and Link Wray. So what exactly is this genre of music that opened today's program and will close it as well? That is yoga rock. Well, here's from Wikipedia an entry about yoga for indie walkers. I'm sorry, Rockers. It's a DVD box designed by Robert Anthony Jr. And it's directed by Matt Pizzolo and produced by Matt Pizzolo, Brian Giberson, and Die Wai Fest, starring Chaos, Paige Turner, Carrie Langlois, and Christina Seffelt. Yoga for Indie Rockers was released back on October 30th, 2007, has a running time of about 45 minutes. It's in English. Yoga for Indie Rockers is a fitness video that matches a traditional yoga workout with contemporary indie rock music and attitude. The DVD features certified yoga instructor Chaos running a hard body yoga workout with three students. And the DVD also includes a beginner session and three audio channels of musical soundscapes, indie, pop, punk, and electro. A review of this on Amazon.com includes the following. Ever wonder why every exercise video seems shot on a hermetically sealed soundstage with a Stepford wife for an instructor and some John Tesh-sounding New Age beat pulsing in the background? Well, Chaos has. She's a certified yoga instructor and personal trainer who teaches a rock and roll hard body yoga class in the center of Hollywood. She thinks fitness videos can have attitude and great music and the kind of badass energy that'll psych you up to work out every day and get in awesome shape. And who are we to argue with a drop-dead gorgeous yogi who could totally kick our asses? In this DVD, you can select your favorite indie rock workout mix or play your own and follow along with three students of varying skill, beginner, intermediate, or advanced. Windham Hill has also put together a yoga rock CD. It's called Yoga Zone, Music for Yoga Practice. And we're, of course, covering this genre now because it's just after the holidays. Surround yourself with the sensuality of sound as you stretch your body and quiet your soul. In choosing the music on this album, care was taken to assure an easy pace toward a fluid, harmonious practice. Each piece is a work of art, soulful and inspiring, deepening your experience. It was created to move you seamlessly through your practice and exquisite background music for your life as a whole. This Windham Hill collection sets to music the joy of yoga, the inner peace that comes from a balance of mind, body, and spirit. So let's listen to some snippets from one of these albums. This is called Pure Moods, number 3. They actually opened with Anya on Only If, our program today. We'll listen to some additional ones now from this same Pure Moods number 3. And we'll start off then with Games Without Frontiers by Peter Gabriel. Minutes of Merry Christmas, Mr. Lawrence. This is from Ryuichi Sakamoto. get into some Blue Man Group, Synesthetic. Program with a snippet from Moby called Porcelain. All of these tunes were from Pure Moods 3. But first, this review from Entertainment Weekly, published on the 18th of December, 2009, Alicia Keys, The Element of Freedom. This review is written by Leah Greenblatt. The reigning diva glitz aesthetic, campy, purient, pantsless, has served the Gagas, Fergies, and Katy Perrys of the world very well in 2009. Alicia Keys, however, has never really been that outro girl. Bombastic Jay-Z duets and the occasional Lycra jumpsuit aside. Instead, over four albums, she's established herself as an increasingly rare thing in pop music, the class act. It's made her a consistently gratifying album artist, if not always an immediately dazzling one. The Elements of Freedom's first single, The Pensive Love is the Drug Ballad, doesn't mean anything. Seems to get lost among its more aggressive chart peers when it was released in late September. The second, Try Sleeping with a Broken Heart, doesn't deserve the same fare. It's insidiously, almost obscenely hooky. A slithering riff on early 80s Prince with a monster synth line. What Keys? Often banal, lyrics lack. Her quicksilver voice carries bluesy and subterranean on the atmospheric opening. Love is Blind. Pure honeyed uplift on Wait Till I See My Smile. And That's How Strong My Love Is. Ragged and Longing on Love Is My Disease, a stirring semi-sequel to her 2007 smash, No One. Put It in a Love Song, a saucy duet with Beyoncé, is fun, though not entirely in sync with the record's lush mid-tempo vibe. Key's material is ultimately about the slow reveal, not the instant blitz. If Element asks for patience, it also earns it A-. And Leah Greenblatt recommends downloading this, Try Sleeping with a Broken Heart. So how'd you do on the rock trivia questions given at the beginning of today's program? First question was, People Are Strange, Hello, I Love You, and Riders on the Storm were all hit songs of which rock band? Was it A, Grateful Dead? No. Supertramp? No. Jethro Tull? No. The answer was C, The Doors. And The Doors were led by their unique and gifted singer, Jim Morrison. He is regarded as one of the top singer-songwriters of all time. However, he met a tragic end when he died unexpectedly in 1971. Second question, which artist had great success as a solo artist with songs like Southern Man, Heart of Gold, and Rockin' in the Free World? That answer, of course, was B, Neil Young. He was also a member of the bands Buffalo Springfield and Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. His album, Harvest, reached number one in 1971. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Rock Review. Be sure to listen again next week at the same time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service.